What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Show from the show, Norfolk State Spartans head coach, Coach Rob Joseph, in the Boss Man Show. Rob, good to see your brother. How things going up there in Norfolk, man?
Everything's good, man. Everything's good.
No doubt, man. No doubt. Well, I got to ask you, as a New Yorker, man, I know you, your whole life, man, you saw the Knicks win that championship, man. So how good does it feel as a native New Yorker, man, to see the Knicks actually pull through this time?
It was something that I thought I would never see in my lifetime, really, after being a fan for so long. But it was good to see them come through, finally get it done. You know, the city is still, you know, buzzing from what I understand, still on fire from what I understand. So I haven't got a chance to get up there yet, but it's been still on fire. So it's good, you know. And you see what happened, man. The Knicks win, and then the whole East reload, right? The whole East did something to try to stop the Knicks. You know what I mean? Little old Jalen Brunson made everybody in the East change up everything they're trying to do.
No doubt. And, you know, the team in New York is, man, diverse, like Puerto Ricans on the team, the Nigerians. You got UK dude, Dominican dude. So talk about just diversity of New York and really how the Knicks team embody the diversity of New York is. The United Nations pretty much is what New York is.
Yeah, I mean, New York is a melting pot. So it's like, the Knicks right now is a melting pot. Got, like you said, got a lot of different nationalities on it, a lot of different, you know, people from different backgrounds and things like that. So, it kind of embodies the New York spirit as a whole. But, you know, it's just good to see them get a championship, man. You know, it's like, so, you know, people was like, oh, they tease me, they're not going to do it again next year. Well, nobody has done it again in eight, like, back-to-back in, like, 10 years. So it's like, you're probably right. They probably won't win again next year, but we won this year. So, you know, we are the champs right now.
No doubt, man. And you know, seeing all them comebacks, man, and I know it's something in basketball, you know, you stick with it, just get stops, kind of that mentality. You get one stop, you can't win that. You can't get a 19-point score. So talk about seeing what the Knicks did to help your team this year. So you got to get down, you all get that mindset of position at a time, just bear down, make the right play, get a little luck here and there, and come back the way the Knicks did it against San Antonio all them games.
Well, I think the NBA game is a little different too, because the NBA game is faster, right? You know, like the shot clock is faster. But there's still a shot clock in the college game, a little slower, but at the same time, you can come back. I mean, it's been times in my career that we have come back from like big deficits. You know, of course, you don't want to get to in those deficits because it's hard to come back, but it can't be done. And I think it just goes, the Knicks just showed the motto of like, the game is never over till it's over, you know? So if anybody showed that, it was them this year, because it clearly, a lot of the games clearly, you know, embodied that, you know, with them coming back and everything like, so it was great. You know, they probably had to come back too much for the coaches. Like, I'm sure if Mike Brown didn't like that too much, but hey, they got it done and they won the game.
And do you feel like that what Jalen Brunson done as a small guard will help change the narrative about small guards, and small guards can't win because he's a small guard and embodies everything you want in a leader and as a point person for your team and actually won? You think that him being helping college and in European ball all over about the kind of narrative sticking about small guards?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's still like an outlier though. You know, I think that you do have to probably be a little bigger than what he did, but I think that it shows that, you know, you can get it done. You know, I think every rule or every thought that, you know, people have about sports has an exception, right? You know, so I think that he's an exception to the rule. I do think that that you can, if, you know, if you're good enough, you can, you know, you can play anywhere. But you know, size and length and physical attributes do matter.
And looking at your roster, Rob, kind of big about what you said, man. You know, you have a lot of switchable size on your team this year. A lot of guys mm-hmm. who are athletic, a lot of guys with length, or long arms. So talk about when you put together a roster, making sure you have that switchable size where you can play up or down a position based on whatever you are going up against and how that helps you, especially when it comes to those three important games at the scope in March.
We wanted to put together a roster that could play many different ways. You know, for us, you know, we could put on the floor at one point, we could put, you know, if we had a point guard, we could put like 6'3", 6'6", 6'8", 6'10", 6'10" on the floor, you know, if we can, you know, this year at one point, you know, at later on down the season, if it was necessary. Or we could put a roster on the floor with, you know, one 6'10 guy and then everybody else, you know, 6'6" or under if we have to go a little faster or quicker, you know, be quicker and things. So like that, I think our roster gives us a lot of versatility, you know, for us. One thing that we wanted to expand on was our athleticism. I think we did that, and our length, you know, to have that. And like, you know, we don't have like really like a whole bunch of 6'10 plotters, you know, and stuff like that. You know, we have we do have one kid, you know, that's because you needed somebody a little heavy inside to try to get in there and battle. But everybody else is definitely switchable candidates and has some good length on the floor.
And with that size you have, about how important it is for these guys to get it in the fight rebounding wise, because that's where you win games at, rebounding and getting more possessions, stopping their possessions. So talk about with the switchable size you have, positional size, to how helping them get involved in that rebounding game is going to help you out this year.
Yeah, man, I think that, you know, we always say no rebounds, no rings. You know, I think that defense is just the baseline. People say defense win championships. No, I don't think so. I think rebounding win championships. I think defense it's just the baseline, you know, because like no matter how good of defense you play, somebody can still throw the ball at the rim at any point of time. You know, now when they throw the ball at the rim, who's going to go get it off the rim, right? So that's where the rebound comes in at, because if you give a team a second chance, they probably going to have a better shot they had the first time. So, you know, I think rebounds win championships. So hopefully we get guys to get in there and fight. We've been talking about that a lot, preaching it during the summer. You know, it's still early, but just trying to get our rebounding progress ready.
No doubt, Rob. Like you said, man, like fans don't understand this, man. Like we both understand it. When you get balls on those long rebounds, man, like if they get the rebounds, it's going to be an open three. It's pretty much 3 points right there. It's going to be wide open. You're in scramble mode. You got to get this run out to that play close out. I'm going to make the shot. So it didn't get to a third chance. You're really going to go down. So talk about that piece of it in the possession game that fans don't really understand about. The little small things like loose balls, the balls, but that small possession game in big games, how much it really matters, the difference between winning and losing when the margins are so thin.
Yeah, every possession counts, man. You know, like you can't afford to give up empty possession, as we would call it. You know, and so empty possession offensively and also defensively, you know, you got to finish with a rebound, man. Like you can play all the defense in the world. Once again, more than likely that shot is still going to go up no matter what. So you got to finish the play with a rebound, you know, and if you don't do that, then that's an empty possession defensively. Now, it really wears on, like you said, because it could be a kick out three, and now you're in scramble mode to try to get back hole, and now you're running around trying to get a stop when you just had the stop if you would have got the rebound. So rebound is extremely important, man, extremely important, extremely important.
And Rob, I noticed sometimes, I noticed with the Hawks, definitely, we would talk about a lot about kind of picking your poison defensively on what you're going to live with. So as you and your staff scheme up, talk about that piece of it. The fans will understand about, hey, sometimes you got to decide between bad and worse, or kill me in my head, kill me in my heart defensively. So talk about when you're trying to scheme up, depending on game to game, how you go about trying to decide what you want to live with defensively.
I mean, just the personnel of the other team. You know, it's like some teams don't handle zone. Some teams don't. I mean, and also the offensive package of the other team. You know, some teams don't like to play against zone. Some teams have limited zone packages. Some teams have easy zone plays to guard. Some teams have easy man-to-man plays to guard. So it's just like just about what the other team really has, and you know, what's easier to well, what will make them it tougher on them. You know, because so. That's what we just try to lead into, like every game, trying to figure out what's what, you know, because every opponent is different. I think there's some things that you do no matter who the opponent is, but some things you tailor towards the opponent. So that's what we look at, because the game against, like, you know, I don't know, I can't think of a team on our schedule, but it's just different games every game, though, you know.
Now, Rob, I know this happens within the NBA sometimes, and this is in the regular season, in the conference. They kind of just depend on certain teams you may see down the road. You hold stuff back. The second time around, you may see them down the road. So for you in college, knowing that you play these teams twice in the MEAC, and you may see them a third time at the Scope, how much do you maybe not show in that second matchup or the first matchup, knowing that you may see them again come March when it really matters down the road for you?
You know, some of that stuff you wrestle with because it's like, yeah, you're not trying to show your whole card, your whole deck of cards, but at the same time, you are trying to win the game. So it's like, you will hope that you have enough in your deck that you can use as much as you can and still, you know, maybe make a tweak of it if you play them again or whatever the case may be. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like it's tough because even like for me, like in the MEAC tournament, I mean, that's what everybody got, like the live scouting. Everybody's sitting right there watching you, listening to your calls. People are like, you know, sitting behind your bench with three coaches trying to hear your calls and stuff like that. It's a little different than watching on film. So it's like sometimes you wrestle with like, do I use this play today or do I save it for championship Saturday? You know what I'm saying? Or whatever the case is. But it's like, honestly, sometimes if you don't use that play today, you're gonna go home, you know? So you gotta figure it out from there.
Now, I'll tell you this, Rob, this is something idea you may want to steal. I know we played the Knicks in April, knowing we might play them in the playoffs. We use dummy calls.
Oh
Yeah, we
yeah,
use
we do.
dummy calls. Like, they thought it was something, but it really wasn't. But see, Mike Brown actually just does this. He'll just do chin. It's like, you know, it's chin. Mike Brown don't change up nothing. It's just chin. He's gonna say chin.
I mean,
He will.
honestly, I think you know, if you got a good enough play, especially from an offensive standpoint, if you got a good enough play that has multiple options within the play, the other team still got to stop it regardless, though. You know, so it's like you can call it exactly what it is. And I think sometimes when you try to play that much of a chess game, now you're confusing the players, you know, stuff like that. You know what I mean? Especially my, you know, college players, you know, like professionals, maybe there's a little different mindset because that's the, you know, the 0.1% of the world, right? But you know, college players is like, you know, they try to, you know, sometimes later in the season, they still try to remember your regular play, and now you're trying to change it again now, you know? So, oh, wow, you know, that's not really my thing.
Yeah, I hear you, man. And, you know,
Yeah, I had one coach in the league one time told me that he does that, changes his plays. And I'm like, no, you don't, you know? But it's like, you know, I guess he was trying to throw me off or something. But yeah, people try to play these mind games, and sometimes it's successful, sometimes it's not.
yeah, you're right, man. It didn't work. We still got beat by 51 points by the Knicks. It didn't matter.
For sure.
What time of day it was, but yeah, man. Like, hey, like it was kill me, Rob was. We couldn't stop but the simple floppy play or flex play. That threw me up. Is this floppy and flex? Why we can't you can't top lock floppy and flex, but now I had the coaches down. But yeah, man, it was funny. It's funny that chess mess, man. And for you, man, this business we in, you've been in Norfolk for going on 20 years, man. Assistant coach to head coach, man. And this world of basketball and coaching, where turnover now, guys don't get 1 or 2 years. They used to just get 3. You might not get 1 or 2 at this point. So, talk about that longevity, man, and just the key to that, and the people around you, and Norfolk State to really support you and what your vision is and keep you there all this time.
Man, I mean, honestly, I thought about this the other day, that about the 20th thing coming up, you know, like this is the 20th season coming up, but it's like, you know, sometimes it don't feel like it's been 20 years because, you know, you're so ingrained into year after year and every year is different. And of course, like you said, at the beginning of my career, I was assistant coach. So, you know, I haven't been in the same role for 20 years. So it feels like two different roles, you know, and stuff like that. So, but, you know, to be two decades in one spot in this, you know, uneasy climate has been like a tremendous feat when I think about it. And I don't like to, pat myself on the back too much. If somebody said, I like, you hope somebody else will do it for you, right? But it's like the one thing I will pat myself on the back for that is that being there for 20 years, man, like 2 decades is like unfathomable in this climate. There's been coaches and now it's like, I'm getting to be the older coach, even though I'm still not that old because I started so young. I started working at Norfolk at 20, 28, you know what I mean? So it's like, I just turned 47 recently. So that's, 19 years or whatever. But it's like, to be the veteran coach in this game now with the years, maybe not by age totally, because there's, as you know, boss man, there's people 70 years old, 65 years old coach. So there's people that's way older than me, coaching. But the thing that you see within these 20 years, you see people that came in the game with you, that's out the game, that may be doing something else, that might have been at 10 different schools, like just barely hanging on and things like that. The other funny thing you see coming in this game is that you see people that, like I said, I was assistant coach at Norfolk, right? You see people that might have been like the high major coach at assistant coach at Villanova or something like that. And like they like, look at you different. You know what I mean? And but because you were at Norfolk State. But then now you're still holding on and they trying to get back into business. It's like that's why you better be careful, who you look at funny or judge differently when you get in this game, because you never know that, like, yeah, that coach at Norfolk State who's assistant coach with you when you was at Villanova or wherever you was at could now hire you, too. So you need to, and our business is so crazy because you see that a lot on the road. Like you'll see that like, people like once they get like this high major gig, it's like they walk with like a different swag, their head up and stuff like that. They try to look down. It's like, come on, man. It's like you'll be gone in 2 years. I'll be still here, So, just be humble while you got it. So I think to last 20 years, man, you gotta have a level of success, I think, clearly. You gotta have a level of success. And you gotta have a level of humility with yourself, because I think humility with yourself, man, is like, for me, I don't look at all the championships I won. Am I aware of them? Of course. I mean, people, remind me of them all the time. But at the same time, it's like for me, I just look at the next thing, and that keeps me motivated and keeps me going to have success for, this longer period of time.
Rob, in 20 years, how many young black men in Norfolk State you've impacted? And talk about that piece of it, impacting these young men's lives, having young men play professional ball, they're becoming husbands and businessmen and entrepreneurs, and they still say, talk to you about how it was hard some days, but how you helped them out and how it made sense to them after they got out of school, what you're trying to do for them while they was at Norfolk State.
I mean, at this point, it's been, obviously it's been hundreds of guys now. You know what I mean? Like to, back when I first started, it wasn't like how it is now when like you go have 13 or 15 new people every year. It wasn't like that. You might have a kid for 3, 4, years, really, 4 years, So is it 300 people? No, but it's a good, 175, 180 kids, that you done put your hands on, maybe probably 200 kids that you done put your hands on to impact and you have some kind of footprint in their life, and especially as a head coach, when I got a chance to make my own rules, my own setting. And so like the rules that I had directly impacted, stuff that they got going on. So yeah, that's good to see, man. And the thing I tell you too is like it's some players, and I think coaches, you always got one player or two players that might be a little of a problem, they might not understand it. But I always say that if they understand it later in life, then I still did my job, even though they didn't understand it in the moment, if they understand it later. And honestly, I've had a couple of players come back, even recently, sit on my couch in the office and say, yo, coach, I didn't understand why you was doing X, Y, and Z, when I was here. But now, I got it. I fully understand. And like, that's a win for me, man. Yeah, that might not be a win to add to my coaching total, but that's a win when they know what's going on in the world because of some of your teachings.
And like example, me, I'm a big example. One of the coaches I've known since I was a kid at Tennessee State, Jamal. I've been knowing him my
Oh,
whole
yeah.
life. He's had an impact on my life. It's been over 20 years. I know I ain't talked to him in a while, but he had an impact on my life. I still remember when he talking in the office of TSU. Will Jones, Si Alexander, I knew. All them dudes I knew, back in the day, Tennessee State, man. So just what you are, those coaches, man, so important for us as young men. And so I want to tell you and give you flowers now, brother, man. Y'all did a hell of a job with me, Tennessee State, and you're doing a job in Norfolk State. But how you impact this should have, and seeing Coach Sal do what he does now, in his comes an elder. I mean, it's wonderful, man. So, like I said, man, it's what y'all do for us, your players, and what y'all do for us, young men and athletes, man. It's one of a kind.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think that's the biggest part of coaching. You know, like I said, everybody always look at the championships or the, you know, the awards or whatever the case is, but man, they don't see the nitty gritty of what it is to really be a coach, and that's to impact the lives of people that you could directly touch. You know, I think that a coach, you know, yeah, you, there's at companies, there's supervisors and things like that that touch people, but like as a coach, man, you directly touch these kids on a different level, you know, day in and day out. So I think that that's very important.
No doubt, man. I'm gonna ask this man about this. So for you, having only a kid now pretty much 9 or 10 months, how you go about building that relationship with young men you used to when you had a guy 3 or 4 years or two, or a JUCO guy 2 years. So how do you kind of try to build a relationship with a guy when you only have him max 9 or 10 months in some of these cases? Because if they play really good for you, they're gonna get posted to move up.
I always say now in this day and age, if a kid is really good, he leaves. If a kid is really bad, he leaves because he thinks he should have been playing, right? It's like the kids that's in between are the ones that kind of stay, you know, and then even then they might leave because they think they could go to greener pastures, you know, and stuff like that, right? But, you know, now with this 9 or 10 month marriage that we have in this game, it ain't the same. You know, it's like you can't even get fully entrenched or immersed into a kid's relationship, you know, and it is really a shame because before you was able to really build some relationships, build some bonds, you know, they might look at you like a, you know, a father figure, a big brother, something like that. Now, like they can still look at you, but it's not 100% because they don't really know you. Like, you know, like the thing I tell my team is that, you know, we're a bunch of strangers getting together, man. You know what I mean? Like we're just a bunch of strangers. And we try to figure out who's who and what's what as we guess, you know, day by day, we try to figure this thing out. Right. So it's like, we're just a bunch of strangers trying to figure it out, man. And, hopefully we can. Hopefully we can do it quickly.
No doubt. And Rob, with this whole new NIL thing and collective thing, how do you go about teaching these young men about finances? Because that money's taxed. It's not just free money. So how do you go about trying to get these young men to understand that, hey, you go to 99, dude, now, whatever little money we get you when you get out on the outside, you have to pay taxes on that money. You can't all blow it. So talk about that, because you guys to understand the financial piece of it for the taxes. Because I know when back in the day, we didn't have that problem.
Yeah, man, it's funny you just said that. We just had a financial meeting today, you know, because like for most of our guys, they're NIL, you know, or rev share, because you know, it's hardly no NIL no more. Everybody doing rev share, you know, revenue share. So it's like it starts August 1st for them, right? So like, you know, August 1st it would basically be this weekend because, you know, there's no ACH over the weekend, right? So like, you know, it's like it's going to be, you know, probably Friday they're going to get their first hit and stuff. So I was just talking to them about what to do and what not to do with their money, you know, because at some point it's going to be like more money than these kids ever had in their life at one point, right? It's going to be things like that. So what do you do now with your money? What do you do with it? You know, and for them is, you know, you got to be smart with it, man. Cause some of these kids, you know, they're going to get thousands of dollars in one hit, you know what I mean? And they might not ever see more than $500 in their account. You know, some of these kids might not have ever see more than $200 in their account. You know, everybody's situation is different. So it's like, what do you do now to keep that money, right? It's like, you should always be doing some things to keep money. It's easy to get money to a certain extent, but it's hard to keep it. So it's like, you know, what do you do to keep it?
Man, you know, you said a word there. You know, like Rob, for me, I made a horrible mistake at Tennessee State, man, on credit card day. And there were 12 of them. They was up in the student center for T-shirts and pizza to get a free credit card. I thought the credit card was free. And it didn't hit me till my 20s. I'm in debt. I got bad credit because I had 12 credit cards even in college. I shouldn't have ever done it. But yeah. I didn't have that financial literacy piece of it back in the day. I just was getting credit cards because I could. And it took me to my 30s to get out of debt. I'm fully out of debt now. But I don't want to go through what I had to go through because I know any better. In 2004, you know what? Mm-hmm. I had all them credit cards because I got a free T-shirt and a pizza. You know what I'm saying? So I hope these kids don't fall in the trap that I fell into over 20 years ago.
Yeah, without question. I mean, I think that you know, the stuff that I didn't know growing up. Like today, the financial meeting we had was just basically my talk. It wasn't even like a financial advisor or anything like that. Was, you know, at this point, man, I've learned a lot about finances myself. You know, I have to deal with my own finances, you know, on a day-to-day basis. And I just was able to share the knowledge of things that work for me, you know, because of things that I've learned through growing up, through other people, through research, you know. Because, you know, at this point, man, it's like, You know, and nothing wrong with financial advisors because they know, like, they know some tricks of the trade that probably I don't know. But you really don't need one. I mean, you could kind of research all the stuff you need to do. You know what I mean? Like, you could kind of get your own analysis, like, of what needs to be done. Like, I don't need anybody to pay my bills. I can pay my own bills. You know, stuff like that. You know, so so I was just giving them knowledge of what I do with you know, with resources and money and things like that. And hopefully, they might not like everything I said, and that's fine, you know, because teach his own. But there are some core values that hopefully they take for them to be able to save their money.
Hey, Rob, I know I was going to speak at Clark Atlanta about time management to their communication students. So I want to ask you about how do you go about teaching your student athletes about time management, trying to be a student, also be a man of community, and play ball and all within the time they allotted. So talk about that piece and teaching them about discipline of how to manage your time the right way and put in the work they need to put in the classroom, in the community, and on the basketball court for you.
The biggest thing now is the time management, because, like, these kids, and some of them, are used to this because they're fourth and fifth year guys or whatever the case is. But, like, the freshmen or even second year guys who are still trying to figure it out a little bit, is that this is the most freedom they ever had in their life. You know, like, you don't have to report to mommy and daddy too much. There's no real curfew because your parents aren't around and things like that. So, and also with college, unlike high school, it's like, okay, you go to high school from, like, 8 to 2 or 7 to 1 or whatever people go to high school, from. But now it's not like that. Now you might have one class a day, that you got, and then you might have another online class. You know what I mean? Maybe you have two classes this day. Maybe, it's not like a full schedule. Like, so the time management is extremely important because you still got to factor in those classes as well as our, weights, practice, film, workouts. It's like food, eating. You got to fill out. You got to figure out all that stuff in the course of a day, and social life. Because, like I told these guys, like, I encourage them to have a social life. Because I tell, them, is that I had the best time of my life in college, man. And now college is becoming such a business, which I guess has always been a business, but it's really, really business-like now, that we are missing giving these kids the full college experience. You know, it's like, we almost treat them like employees, and to a certain degree, they are, to a certain, because if you get paid for anything, you are an employee of a company. But at the same time, they're still college students. So how could we still make them feel like a college student? So what I told them is that, hey, man, if there's a event on campus, go to it, if you have time. Is there, the cab? Yeah, you guys got money that you don't probably have to eat in the cab if you don't want to, but go to the cab, go meet people, things like that. Like, let people know your face, because one, it can help. One, it just helps your social skills, and two, it'll help the fan turnout too. People, if they're connected to you, they're gonna come to, especially the students. If they know who you are, they're gonna come see the games. If they don't know who you are, man, they might just come because they really like basketball or whatever. But people are gonna support people, right? They always go. I always believe that people are gonna support people. If I really know you, I'll probably support you. If I just know of you, I might not support you. I mean, that's just what it is. Like, but if I really know you, I'm gonna support you. You know what I mean? And whatever way that's fair to support you. And coming to a game is more than fair if I really know the person. You know what I mean? So it helps, like I said, twofold, with socially and with fan support.
No doubt, man. And also, like you said, man, it's so important that, because I know we would go out on campus and pass out flyers, come to games, give out donuts, do little stuff like that, kind of eyeball who we are as TSU Athletics. So people would come to the game. I almost said the wrong word on there, but come and mess with us, and come out and support us, man. Forgetting sometimes, hey, I almost said the wrong word. Yeah, man, no doubt. I don't ask you this, man. So, giving them experiences, man. Talk about this, going to Puerto Rico, man. This day we get to go out of country, get to play, go out there and play some games, man. Get to kind of see what you got a little bit too. Got to get guys some runs. So, how cool is it for the university to be able to go out there, man, and really down there and have an experience of a lifetime for these young men?
Yeah, it's cool, man. I mean, obviously the game part of it, you get a chance to see what you got early, but it's honestly so early, you really don't know what you got, because, nothing's a finished product. And actually, it's a little taxing on the coach, because you're trying to get as much in as possible for you to look like something when you go down there, but yet the things are not perfect or they're not right. It's just like, just to have some kind of semblance of order to look like something, right? And then the next thing is for these guys, man, to, like, be able to spend a whole week in another country and everything like that. It's tremendous, man. They're gonna be able to, really bond together. You know, we're gonna have different events and stuff like that. So even sometimes when you're in the dorm room, it's like you don't really see people all the time, you know. But now you, when we do our like our hiking, and I think we gotta do hiking on like ATVs or something like that, it's like we all gonna be together, you know, and we're gonna all be together in another country, you know. So that's a valuable experience. I'm happy the NCAA was able to lift that rule about every 4 years. It's like, you know, if you're able to afford it, you should be able to go anytime you want, you know. And so we chose this year to go to see how it goes. I mean, we got, you know, a lot of new players, like which most teams in the country do, but I think that stuff, it helps accelerate it. And we want to try to keep putting together, you know, a budget to at least go, you know, if not every year, at least every other year to some country to be able to bond. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, man, you know, once again, we're all strangers that we're trying to figure out how to be a family. And the quicker we figure that out, usually the better the results are going to be.
See, last question for Rob, but from my interns. Okay, I'm going to give you the heads up from my interns. First one is this, Rob. They want to ask you about the 5-5 rule. How does it affect you now going forward, and how you construct your teams going? Construct your teams now.
I mean, it don't affect me too much because I think that in this day and age, you got to keep thinking that everybody's going to be a senior anyway. You know, because even if that's why, like when people tell me, "Yo, he's a freshman or he's a sophomore, he got X amount of years left." I'm like, "No, you don't. Not for me. He could have 1 year left because everybody is liable to leave." You know, like freshmen are liable to leave, juniors are liable to leave, seniors, yeah, everybody's liable to leave, right? So I do think that it changes a little bit of the way members on your team could think, though. Because now it's like, you know, everybody want to try to, like, you know, how these kids, they get to the bag, right? Get to the bag, you know, and of course, get to the bag is trying to figure out how to do well and then go to high major or something like that, you know, to get to, like, the money and stuff. But now, honestly, you don't have to do that as quick anymore because that extra year they gave you was like really bonus. You know what I mean? So like now you can, instead of jumping around a different campus to campus every year like a nomad, you know, you can stay 2 years at a campus, stay 2-3 years at a campus. And then if you want to leave to, in quotes, get to the bag, then go after 2 or 3 years, you know, things like that. Now go do whatever you want to do, whatever you know, you want to try to do. But before kids, you know, thinking that, you know, I got to leave now. You know, it's like, you don't have to. I think that it changes that a little bit. You don't have to do that. But, you know, you never know who's advising these kids, man, to do silly things. So, but, you know, I tell you, I would advise any kid of mine, you know, like, oh, man, you can stay really, you know, as long as you want, you know, to, and then still have a back end to be able to get to the bag. You know what I mean?
Oh, I got two more for you from them, man. The young lady asked you this question, Coach Jones, what is the most enjoyable part of your job outside of the basketball piece?
I mean, you know, so much is involved with basketball, so it's kind of hard to say, you know, like what's enjoyable of your job outside the basketball. I think that outside of the court, I would say, is just like being able to put together a plan with a whole bunch of new people to try to have success every year. I think that's always the challenge and always the reward too, you know, of like, can you have similar success with a whole new group every year, you know, stuff like that. So that's like always a challenge for me, always like a great experience for me, putting together practice plans, putting together stuff like that to try to figure out, can we have some success? Because, you know, because we talk about this 20 years thing, 20 years has been a lot of successful in that 20 years that people expect more success. So like, I like trying to like, put together the plan to try to have the success. So hopefully to answer that question, like I said, you know, maybe that's not on the court, but it's still related to basketball. It's kind of hard to like ask me what's my favorite part of my job outside of basketball. I mean, I'm a basketball coach, you know, so that's a little tough.
I think that's one of the journalism questions I would never ask you, but I get it.
That's a little tough.
And the last one is this. This one might be easier for you. The last one they have for you is, says, Coach Jones, if you wasn't a basketball coach, what would your career path be?
Entertainment, for sure. 100%. You know, for me, I got involved in entertainment early in my career. In college, I was the president of the entertainment committee. So I used to be in charge of throwing the concerts and, you know, comedy shows and stuff like that. Once I got out, I retained the contacts of a lot of those people. And I started doing the stuff myself, kind of started my own entertainment company and everything like that. After that, I got a chance to work with like guys like 50 Cent and Nas and, you know, guys like that doing shows for them, helping put together tours for them and stuff like that. So I would have definitely stayed in that field, you know, definitely, you know, staying. I would definitely say that. I mean, now I'm so into my field that I don't really think about the other side no more. But In a perfect world, I would have loved to do basketball and entertainment at the same time, some way, somehow. Now, I probably would have had no time for myself at all if I did that. But in a perfect world, I would have liked to do both. So if I wasn't a basketball coach, I definitely would still be involved in that 100%. Because I was fully into that, like fully into that. So, yeah, now I just know, you know, I just basketball now.
No doubt. But Rob, man, thank you for doing this for me, man. And this interview with me today, man. I always appreciate our chats, man. I wish you best of luck, man. And I really do hope we're talking again in March when you win that. Go ahead and win that again, man. Because I love chatting with you around that Sunday day. I know you had a great year, brother.
Yeah, man. Yeah, hopefully, I mean, yeah, you're right. If I'm talking to you in March, I had a good year. And then, you know, we'll talk more about the team because it's hard to talk about the team now and I don't know what's going on right now. But it's like, you know, later on in the season, I could fully in depth talk about the team, you know, stuff. So,
no doubt. But thank you for telling us, my brothers. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
All right. Likewise, man.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.